morning, TVA. First of all, this stand is not gonna... Okay, anyways. Good morning, TVA. I'm going to try my best to talk slow and enunciate so you guys can actually hear the words I have to say today. My name is Ellie Stiverson. Yes, I know. A Stiverson with hair. It's a revelation. I know. So excited you guys are here today and we were able to worship together. So recently, I got back from Big Creek 2 weeks ago. And although it's felt like an eternity since we got back, and I miss everyone there, the things that happened there are still so relevant and fresh in my mind. The people at Big Creek put themselves before others. Most of them are called there by God, and they go serve there. Most of them don't get recognition for anything they do there. I remember thinking at first, that's so unfair. They do so much work for little pay. But then I put it in God's perspective. They went there to go out into the community and serve. They truly want to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. One thing I've realized is that we hype up serving others a lot. We make it a huge deal, but in reality, we should be normalizing sharing the gospel and serving others. This should be a part of our daily lives. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you." We need to remind ourselves that Jesus poured his heart out to everyone around him, and most times he never got any praise or approval for this. Will you still be joyful? And if we don't get any praise or approval, will we still feel joyful and fulfilled? I realize that asking these questions like these can really put your heart in check before you serve. I can say it most definitely put mine in check while I was at Big Creek. Sometimes we forget that even though Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew 28, he's also talking to us, and that verse is just as relevant today as it was when he spoke those very words from his mouth. Many of us get held back from serving others with a complete heart because of our pride. Some of us think that we're too good for doing things like that, and we shouldn't have to go serve others because we're already a wonderful Christian. Or we might think exactly the opposite. Well, I'm not good enough, and I shouldn't be serving others. I'm not qualified. Although we aren't qualified in our own strength, through God, we are. God calls us to be his advocates, to be able to share the gospel to others. Please open up to 1 Timothy 4:12 if you have your Bibles with you today. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." To put this verse into context, Paul is talking to a young boy named Timothy, obviously, who was called to lead at a very young age. There's evidence from the Bible that Timothy was very fearful and also had some sort of like stomach sickness because of anxiety, stuff like that. Timothy was most likely a young adult and had a culture and community where his opinion and the things he had to say were not listened to. Because of this community, he probably doubted himself and his ability to lead others at such a young age. Timothy also probably doubted himself, especially if others looked down on him because he was seeking confirmation from his peers. This story sounds a little bit too familiar to people like me. The youth group reminds me of Timothy in a lot of ways. A lot of us feel like we're too young to be making a difference and we won't be listened to. Even I struggle with this. But think about it this way. What if you went to school or work and had the perfect opportunity to share to somebody about God and lead them, but you were too scared? You were too worried about how you would look, your dignity, or if you wouldn't be accepted anymore. Please notice how I said you like 5 times in that sentence. We make Christianity so much about ourselves when it should be about God. Most of us let our fear and anxiety get in the way of what God wants for our lives. People will tell you you're different. They might ask about the way you act, or they, in fact, might act a certain way around you. That's a good thing. That means they notice the Holy Spirit in you and how it impacts your life. Our church loves to hide behind things. We will not admit that, but it's true. We love to be comfortable and do things that God tells us to do, but only when it's beneficial for us. Only if we get something in return. What if you didn't get anything out of it? Well, if you listen to God for the right reason, you wouldn't even want anything in return. So, my first point, Paul tells Timothy what not to do. Don't be ashamed of being young. Use the authority that God has given you. One thing we don't realize is that we can use our age to connect with other people our age, and even those older than us. Also, if you're young and always around the same people all the time, hearing the same perspective on what they think about God, how are you going to grow and know more about Jesus? When people younger or older than you come in and give their perspective, you might learn something you didn't know or be spiritually moved in a way that you weren't expecting to be. God has given us authority to say the right things and to lead others. If we're scared, it's because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Then Paul tells us what we should do, and that is to be an example. It's a very vast thing we should do. Anyways, you don't have to be young for people to look down on you, so when you present the gospel. So in a way, this can be a message for all of us. Yes, even you old people. I'm sorry. We need to see that, listen up, okay? We need to see that we can be used just as much as anyone else. I don't think you guys realize, we are the generation of the church. Stop looking to the generation above you and say, oh no, it's their job to go serve. It's their job to go share the community. No, it starts with us. I don't understand why we have to always think that, like, it starts with someone else. It starts with you. I lost my place. Our time is now. Stop waiting for someone else to start the change. We are the ones to make the change and to be the difference. Many of you might be thinking, well, there's not that many of us. Like, for example, the young adults, there's not that many of you. And you might be thinking, well, we can't make a change because we're not strong, because there's not enough people in our group that's our age, so we can't do anything about it. That's not true. Those are lies. Do not believe them. You could have 1,000 people in a room who all claim that they're on fire for God, and they're just like, oh yeah, but you could not see one heart moved. But you could have one singular person who is on so much fire for God and puts all of their trust in God that other hearts are moved by God, and they are just in awe to sit at his presence. Guys, we are not worthy to sit at his presence. We take God so casually, it's almost kind of concerning. It's like, oh yeah, let me just, you know, show up to church today and just see God's presence move like any other Sunday because it's so normal in our daily lives. But no, we should be walking in here saying, God, I cannot wait to see how you are going to move today. How are you going to impact our church? Lost my place again. It's our job to show that we are not even worthy to sit at his presence. Yet sometimes we still think that we are. We need to show others how much awe we are in just to be able to come talk to him. If we all get burnt out and don't put our faith in God because we are doubtful in ourselves, how will other generations feel? Are they going to feel uplifted, re-energized, renewed, restored? I think you can answer that for yourself. The journey of faith is not always a smooth one. And along with the many challenges that youth face today, it is normal to question and doubt ourselves. I do it a lot, and that's okay. That's part of our walk with God. But it's the point where we start feeling not qualified to do something for God's glory that it becomes a problem. You may doubt yourself, and others may cause you to doubt yourself, but you need to be dependent on God. People may look down on you for sharing the gospel or because you are young. Trust God. Although we are unable to control the attitude of others towards ourselves, we are to be responsible for the way that we react to any negative attitude others may show towards us. Anytime I'm talking to someone about something someone said and I'm overthinking it a lot or I'm a little hurt by what someone said, they're always like, don't let their words control you, or roll it off like a duck. Because, you know, ducks have feathers and it's science. It's wonderful. And you're just like, yeah, I know. That'll answer my problems right away. Heard it 100 times, but I'm sure the 101st time will just, it'll automatically work. As much as I hate these phrases because they're so cliche and so annoying, believe me, I know. They're actually right. When you let words control you, it can hold you back from so much potential God has in store for you. If you let these words control you, you might lose confidence that God can use you for his glory. Why are we so intimidated? It could be because lack of Bible knowledge, or maybe it's fear. Or maybe we think that we have to be perfect. Even though none of us are. Apparently you have to be perfect, but no one else is. It's kind of weird. Or maybe, just maybe, guys, get ready for this mic drop. Our hearts are pulled more to the world. I've been struggling with all of these things. I know that we all do. And losing our hearts to the world is probably one of our biggest downfalls. One of the verses my dad taught me when I was little, and is still extremely prominent in my life to this day, is Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When Paul was telling Timothy how to be an example, he explains it in five different areas. Being an example might be intimidating because we aren't perfect. None of us are, but Jesus isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. Let me say that again for those of you in the back that are probably asleep at this point. Jesus is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. He's looking for vulnerable people. He's looking for open people. If we're trying to be perfect, we should be checking our heart posture. So in my small group, we were reading a book called Get Out of Your Head by Jenny Allen. Let me tell you, she can spit out some facts. She says, when we're not busy being consumed with ourselves, we notice other people in the world. We can't set the example unless we're surrendering to Christ and depending on Christ. And we need to support each other. As a church, that is our job. Just because we are weak doesn't mean that we should give up. Actually, that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. When we are weak, then Christ can be strong in us. When we support each other, it is uplifting and encouraging to our brothers and sisters who doubt us. So in 1 Timothy, there are five examples that he says. The first one is speech. In this world, we normalize things that we say that should not be normalized. This ranges from foul language to lying, or maybe those political talks that happen at the table during Thanksgiving that just make the holidays so more merry than they should be already. Yeah. As followers of Jesus, we should be held to a higher standard than the rest of the world. Many of us might be thinking, well, I lied to protect them, or, well, I cussed to fit in with my friends or coworkers, so I'm in the right for doing this, right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we're all agreeing here. No. No. Don't you dare justify yourself. You are in the wrong, and if you make those excuses, that's just your pride getting in the way, and you're too ashamed to admit that you did something wrong and to grow from it. I'm speaking to myself too, guys, don't worry. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to each person." People are going to let us down. It's going to happen. It's inevitable, or however you say that word. But it's how you respond back that matters. Although we might feel justified in saying something, but we need to check our heart posture and remember how to be an example of Christ. When we take a moment to step out of our own perspective and look at our situation in a godly perspective, there are definitely some things that we would say differently. Believe me. The second example that I have is conduct. The definition of conduct in the Bible means how we walk morally and spiritually. If God is truly the one we are following, and we aren't searching for confirmation from our peers, our trust in God will affect our conduct, and we will be less likely to sin. Do you sometimes snap at someone because maybe you didn't get enough sleep this morning, or maybe that one family member took a little more time than the others to get out of the house this morning? Mom, I'm not naming names or anything. Or when we react to our brothers and sisters like this, it completely shuts them down. We will always struggle with church hurt. We're imperfect people. But if we can't be an example to others in the church, how are we going to be an example to others in the world? If we can't love each other in this church who have a firm foundation in God, how are other people going to feel? When you hurt them, they have nowhere to turn. They don't have God as their foundation, as their rock. My next example is love. I almost said slide there. All right, anyways, if we ever feel like we run out of love, we can remember we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We don't have the strength to love others. We can go straight to God, who is in fact love, and can ask him to pour out his heart to us. God loved unconditionally. A word that can best describe this is agape, which means unconditional love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-9 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endured all things. Love never ends." None of us can ever love as much as the Lord can, but through him, we can learn to love more and more like him every day in our walk with Christ. Heather Adams said, "We might label works motivated by agape today as serving the community or missions, but these moments can happen anywhere, any day. They have to do with provision, caring, welcoming, blessing, encouraging, and equipping others. This type of love is active and requires our time and energy." Those are two really big things. It calls us to look for needs around us, then to commit to doing what we can to make a difference. It demands creativity, determination, and dedication. Most of all, our hearts need to be aligned with God's. Many of us take God's love so lightly, but we should be asking God, "Fill me with your love so I can show others the unconditional love that you have for them." We can show an example of God in our faith. First of all, what does your faith in God mean to you? You may know facts about God, but do you trust him to take care of you and use you? When we have faith in God, we have trust in him. You have a good understanding of who he is as you read the Bible more and more. Obviously, you will never know everything about him all at once. In fact, because he is so great, your whole life will be about knowing more and more about him. But as you learn, you will have a hunger for him, and your faith will grow. Faith is more than just believing God exists. It's a lifestyle. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." Another part of our walk with God and having faith is not being ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell others about Jesus. In Christianity, we have to believe in the promise God gives us. We rely on his love and character to be able to act. We can show faith in God by tithing, praying, reading the Bible, and volunteering opportunities. Although these are a lot of things that we can do to show our faith in God, and they are great things, If we do them with the wrong heart, they mean nothing to God. It's like our hearts go on autopilot and we say, "Yeah, I have faith in God and I trust him in everything I do." But we're not sincere, so what's the point in even saying that? Just because the people around you can't see the lie doesn't mean that God doesn't either. Believe me, he sees how much we can cover up our walks with God on the outside. I hate to say I do this a lot more than I often should. In fact, I should never be doing that. Why even bother doing all of these acts if you're not even thinking about God while you're doing them? Your acts are meaningless if you're doing them for the validation of man. Matthew 16:28 says, "For what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" Every time I read that verse, I just think of that one Toby Mac song from like 2006 or whenever it came out. He's old. Not that old, don't worry, guys. I think one of our biggest problems is that we all have different versions of purity that we create in our head, different standards that we create for ourselves. God defines purity as guiltless, blameless, or innocent behavior. We should not be content with where we are when it comes to our purity. If you are, that means that you're satisfied with living in sin, guilt, and shame. Shame is always probing for vulnerability. We need to be asking God to change us and refine us. We should be striving to live a selfless life. Obviously, we will never have completely pure hearts, but we should strive to have a heart like God's every day. One perfect example of a person like this was King David. David wasn't perfect. In fact, he made many mistakes. But he strived to be a man after God's own heart. And also, guys, keep in mind, God didn't have to, like, when they wrote the Bible, like with David, they put all of his mistakes in there. And that showed that David wasn't a perfect person. But the thing that was different about David is that he strived to be a man after God's own heart. Psalm 24, 3 through 4 says, "We need clean hands and a pure heart." In a book that I'm reading called The Reset, Jeremy Riddle says, "If you're doing what you're doing for notoriety," or however you say that word, it's far above my vocabulary, "influence and significance in the eyes of men, not only will your reward fade along with the earth, you will never touch the heart of God." I got this book a long time ago. I'd say about, I don't know, like 6 months. And I've only gotten through the first like three chapters. Because this book gives you a heart check. Like, I don't think you understand how prideful that we can be when we try to be an example for others. We might think to ourselves, well, I made so many sacrifices for all of these people. I did so many things. I should be getting recognition for all the things that I'm doing. We might try to always point the attention back to us. Oh, well, I did this. They didn't do that. That was me. That was all me. Yeah, it's all about me. Or we might think the opposite. Well, I'm not worthy to be up here in front of all of these people. Or who am I to be up here? One of my youth leaders once said, can't find her. Oh, I found her. "Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less." Let me say that again. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. When we go to God, we should be asking him to clean my hands and purify my heart for your glory. Obviously, though, Timothy heard these truths time and time again. He still at times he doubted. The flesh will always lie to you and tell you that you aren't good enough. Or the flesh might tell you that you're better than everyone else and people should be looking up to you. The point is that we have to keep coming back to the truth every single day. We can't just go back to Jesus for confirmation and validation in his opinion once a year. We can come back and be reminded to live in his truth and promise. And we should be doing that every single day of our lives. This should be a lifestyle. Youth, be an example. Church, be an example. Stop putting titles on different generations. In the end, we are all the same church. We should start acting like that too. For the people in the older generation, you guys have been around longer, I must say that. But you also might have more wisdom, or you might have read the Bible a little bit more. And youth group, some of you guys have been around for like a decade, or at least I have, good old 14 years. We all can learn from each other. Just because you're older doesn't make you know more about God, and just because you're younger doesn't make you know more about God. Don't belittle yourselves. Obviously, we are not qualified to go out and share the gospel, but through God we are. Don't let that stop you. Don't be scared. Don't be intimidated. Guys, remember 1 Timothy 4:12? Write it on a little sticky note or something. Put it in your car. Put it where you can see it every single day so you guys can be reminded. As we continue in worship, just ask yourself, how can I be an example? What can I do to remind myself God's truth and promise for me in my life? How can I stay humble even when I'm tempted to not be? That last one, I've definitely asked myself more than once. If you need any prayers, you need to talk to someone, you can go back to Next Steps where Alyssa Gerber and Daniel Cleveland are over there. They are both wonderful people. And please feel welcome to come to the altar and just to pray. I'm going to go and close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much that we get to be here today. I pray that we can just go out into our community and serve others and not be scared or intimidated. We should be having power, love, and a sound mind as we go out into this community and serve. Pray that we feel qualified through you and that we have faith in you. And I pray that we can just come back into your word every single day of our lives so we can remember your truth and promise that you have. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.